Let's get right to it with Don Green on the Mobile Tensile Delta. Don, the full moon this weekend, it's going to be a couple of days right after the full moon. We've got some strong tides coming.
Mm-hmm.
So what do you think, man?
Well, as far as I'm concerned, this whole week is the time of the month to fish, all the way into the weekend. When you have a building moon like this, and your tides happen to fall right in place because of your moon, the afternoon bite is so good, it's just unbelievable when you get out there and stay till dark. And that's what's been happening on the lower delta. Now, the upper delta, it's a different story. I just talked to Mike up at Bates Lake a few minutes ago, and he said the water is still dingy.
Mm-hmm.
It was really muddy because of all that rain. Those creeks got up there this past week. But it's getting back down to normal, and hopefully it's down good enough that this willow fly hatch we're going to have today and tomorrow is going to be fantastic. I'm looking for it to be anyway, because this time of year is usually your best willow fly hatch, you know, and today is the full moon.
Yeah, so the willow flies, the full moon, the brim ought to be really good this weekend.
Yeah, they have been. They've been building up. He said last week they did okay. And over the weekend, this past weekend, they didn't do anything. And I told him I thought it was because of what's fixing to happen. He said he agreed 100%. He said they're going to be in there under those bushes waiting on those willow flies.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm going up into, I guess, the middle delta tomorrow morning to try to catch some crappie. Is the water going to be good in the middle delta?
Okay, the middle delta, if you get away from the main rivers, it's not bad. I hadn't got any reports from anybody except the people at Hubbard's,
mm-hmm.
and the water's dingy up there.
Okay.
And so it must have got into that area. But as far as the middle delta, you get into the lakes and get into the bayous off of the lakes. Now, a really good place that most people use this time of the year is your lower delta bayous off of the lakes, the bayous down here off of the east. It's really good this time of year, believe it or not.
Hmm.
You just got to fish those creeks till you find them. They may be out in deeper water. They still may be on a deep edge where treetops are.
Mm-hmm.
I've had two reports past week of good limits being caught down there, so they already hitting down there.
Well, that's good news. You know, those creeks in the lower delta pretty much stay clear when everything else
mm-hmm.
is muddy.
Yeah,
so,
they tend to clear up pretty quick. There's a good bit of grass in there to clear it up a lot quicker.
Yeah, and just the way that they run doesn't let the mud go back up in there.
Right, and you know, another thing that I need to say about those lower delta creeks, the majority of them, you know, over the years have silted up to the point that sometimes you find only holes 8 feet deep, you know.
Right.
Or something like that. Don't let that stop you from going down them, because those things are full of crappie.
Yeah.
Believe it or not, there's plenty of crappie in them. And you have to fish according to your time of the year. Early in the year, they're going to be on up in them. Later in the year, when the shrimp start coming in, they'll be in the mouth of them, you know. But it's just a situation of fishing the time of the year to really get into it.
And some of those pockets along the edge of the rivers can be good, too.
Yes, sir. They always are good, especially right now. You know, most people don't realize the difference in the temperature on the delta. You got your main rivers. That water temperature don't get up there to bedding time till usually late April or early May.
Mm-hmm.
And these fish bed a lot later in the rivers than they do in the creeks and bayous way up into the end of them. The lower the temperature is in those places, the longer it takes for them to bed.
Mm-hmm. Well, the high tide that occurs at the mouth of Mobile River is going to be right at 2 o'clock p.m. on Saturday. Mm-hmm. So the tide's going to be coming in the first thing in the morning,
mm-hmm.
and then turning around later that afternoon. Which way do you prefer? You like the incoming or the outgoing?
I like the outgoing because the amount of feeding it goes on and the amount of fish. You fish according. A good example is right now when you got a high tide around 2 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
You go early in the morning. You fish you know, for a while for bass fishing. It's going to be good early that morning.
Mm-hmm.
But then it'll shut down as the water starts flowing hard, and it'll flow right on through high tide. Sometimes you'll have a little feed right before high tide. But most of the time, when that tide gets about halfway out and it starts slowing down, you can work on the best in that lower delta, mm-hmm. anywhere on that delta, really.
Yeah. Well, I may have to change my plans from a morning trip to a late afternoon
yeah.
trip.
Now, if you're going crappie fishing, that incoming tide will be okay. Around the high tide, it will be best when that water slows down.
Oh, okay.
A crappie likes that slow water to really feed, because the other fish, large bass, grill, and all that stuff that feeds on them won't be feeding.
Makes perfect sense, Don, as always.
Yeah.
I appreciate the report, bud. Thanks so much.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, let's check in with Mike Thompson and see what's happening in the northern part of the Mobile Bay. How you doing?
I'm doing fine, Alan.
Well, I guess the first thing we need to talk about is the shrimp. It's in abundance right now, right?
Yes, plenty of shrimp available on the causeway. I talked to Larry Scott yesterday. They're not having any problem catching shrimp. If you are fishing farther down the bay, I talked to the guys at Deer River. They got plenty of bait down there. They got some good fishing going on down there, too, catching a lot of white trout down there. They're catching plentiful amounts of redfish. And they're still having that problem with those pesky mangrove snappers in there.
Well, you know, I finally got into some blue crabs last week. I put some traps out, and I caught a big mess of blue crabs, and I'm hoping to check the traps about every 3 days and pick them up again. So I really enjoyed that.
Well, I tell you what, you got something as good as gold in those crabs. I bought some yesterday, and I was shocked at what it cost me to buy them. I'm like you. I'd rather catch them myself, but sometimes you just got to break open the wallet and go pay for them. But
yep.
I think I might get back out there with my hand lines and start producing for myself, or get me another job to afford my crab addiction.
That's a lot of work, you know, to pick them all out and do all that. But, man, once you get a big old bowl of crab meat in your refrigerator, you know, you just can't hardly leave it alone.
No. Getting back to the fishing along the eastern shore, all along the piers and the pilings, they're still catching a few specks early and late. They're catching specks and white trout in most of the eastern shore reefs. Turtle Ditch and North Pass are still just full of small redfish and puppy drum, the pound and a half to 3 pound puppy drum. They're catching those on live shrimp and fresh dead shrimp, catching a few off the Appalachian Bar out there, also catching a few reds. Now, the speckled trout have slowed way down towards the south, and I think that has more to do with the heat than anything else. And the people that are fishing up in the Mobile River are, you know, doing something on the specks and reds, but it's really slowed down to what it was 10 days ago.
Do you think the speckled trout, you know, bite a lot better first thing at first light in the morning, when it's a little bit cooler?
Absolutely, and also late in the evening. I'll give you an example. We were fishing up in the Mobile River, and we were fishing around an industrial spot, and the man came out with a hard hat on, and I thought, well, we're getting ready to be run off this spot. And he hollers at, he said, "You're fishing in the wrong spot." And I said, "Is it illegal to fish here?" He goes, "No, you're in the wrong spot." And he pointed me to another area near where we were, and he said, "There's a pretty good size hole over there." He said, in the afternoon, when we finished up all our work, we load up the ice chest with fish right over there. Huh. He said, it's always good from about 6:30 till dawn.
How about that? Well, we got a good tide this weekend, Mike. Should make a difference, especially going out in the afternoon on Saturday and Sunday. So maybe the afternoon bite on speckled trout will be the ticket.
Well, it may be so. Let me get back to Deer River real quick. I just remembered something they told me. They caught some really nice flounder in Deer River last weekend when they had the children's tournament.
Wow.
And there was also a report of some nice flounders being caught at the mouth of Dog River up on to the Hoppies Flats. Bull minnows have been in short supply, so these guys were using your favorite, the Gulp Swimming Minnow, to catch their flounders.
Boy, they work, I'll tell you that. If you can find flounder, you know, those gulps are really fun to use. So I like the swimming minnow in a pearl color. And, you know, I've tried the other colors, but I just, you know how it is with your confidence bait. That's the one I have the most confidence in.
Right. You know, I people ask me what my favorite grub is, and it's always the one the fish are biting. And since I use that root beer beetle more than anything else, that would be the, if I had to go to prison and feed myself at the prison stream, I'd want that root beer beetle with me.
That's right. You know, it's good to hear that some people are finding some flounder. You know, the last several years have been hard on flounder fishing.
It really has, but you hear more and more people gigging them at night, mm-hmm. and it seems like, even though it's not a super comeback, It's a definite improvement over the last several years.
Well, thanks for the report, Mike. We appreciate it.
Okay,
and,
Alan.
Next up is Captain Bobby Abriscato with our inshore fishing report. Captain Bobby, are you staying cool out there today?
Can't do it, Big Al. Matter of fact, at 4:30 in the morning when I'm hooking up the boat, I'm already dripping with sweat.
Man. I know it. It's brutal, man.
What. But it's that time of year, dude. You just kind of expect it, you know. I'll tell you another thing that you know, of course, you've probably been up early enough in the morning to see that big bright moon we got going on
right now.
Man. God, I just love that. I can't get enough of it, you know, in the morning like that when we're launching and running out underneath that moon. And the trout love it too, dude. I mean, it's been really, really good this week. The trout really react to the full moons, particularly this, you know, kind of a peak spawning time like now in May and a little bit into April, but we get on this moon and these fish have gathered up in these big spawning schools. And man, when you find them, it's just a wreck fest. And luckily, despite some of the wind that we've had, we've just had these awful west and southwest winds, which are really the worst winds we can get, particularly at the lower end of the bay, and still been able to go out and catch a bunch of fish. You know, like I said, some of the schools, they've been really wadded up, big schools of males, you know, and then you're sitting there catching, you know, nice size male trout, and all of a sudden, boom, somebody catches a 5.5-pound female. That's the female that's in that group, you know. So, been some great trips, dude. It should stay that way all the way through the weekend, too. You know, we just had the true full moon last night, so about 3 days before, and, you know, 3 or so days afterwards, it stays pretty good. Then, of course, unfortunately, with the good stuff, you got to take the bad stuff, and we're going to kind of go into one of those post spawn valleys probably about the middle of next week, you know, so there's going to be kind of a little time where they finally have to sit back and catch their breath a little bit, but up until then it ought to be great.
Are you still fishing the Mississippi Sound, or are you concentrating on rivers now, or what?
No, I'm still out. I like to fish the Sound just because it's, you know, I got a lot of stuff that I fish down there, but I have had some trips out in the bay too, east of the bridge. We've had some pickups at Fort Morgan, and in that case, I don't really like to run all the way back down into the Sound. So just without even, you know, just pretty much going cold, I've been fishing some of the structure in the form of rigs and rock piles that are out in the bay, mm-hmm. And doing really well out there too. So it's kind of one of these deals to where, you know, you can pretty much, if you get on kind of anywhere close to any kind of pattern, you're going to be able to catch some fish. You know, I'm going out there kind of blind and still catching fish on that structure. Even had, of course, croakers work great when it gets hot like this. Shrimp always work good, but even had an artificial bait-only trip, which is really kind of rare for this time of year for me. The guys told me that's what they wanted to do, is just artificial bait. And, man, we had a stellar day. You know, I think sometimes if you can, it's kind of like you start using that bait, it's kind of like a drug. You get addicted to it or something, and you know, you think you have to have it, but you really don't. I mean, you know, so it's not the end of the world if you don't get bait or you can't get bait. We really had an exceptional trip, and even mixed in with my bait trips, I've been throwing a lot. Usually once I find the fish, I switch and usually try and get one or two other people to switch over to artificial bait. And, you know, really the artificial bait will almost keep up with that live bait, particularly on the shallow water bite. You know, we can throw stuff like the slick lure and the voodoos and that sort of thing, and you can almost keep up with those shrimp.
Are you fishing, when you do an artificial bait trip, are you fishing under a popping cork, or are you dragging a jig along the bottom? What are you doing?
I don't do a lot of jig fishing unless I'm fishing out on some structure, but it's mostly, you know, some kind of soft plastic bait, like the little baby voodoo is the one I like, under a popping cork. Mm-hmm. Early in the morning, you can catch a few on top water. The trip I mentioned a minute ago, we caught a lot of fish on slick lures, which I normally don't use a lot of this time of year, but we were around a big school of mullet. And the trout were under those and apparently feeding on those, because that slick lure really imitates a mullet well. And we caught some beautiful trout throwing that slick lure. So it's kind of a little bit of a variety. Everything probably except a jig, just because I don't do a whole lot of deep water fishing. But I would imagine even that would work if you got around some active fish.
One last question. Have you run across any triple tail?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Matter of fact, I won't tell the whole story, but the gist of it is I ran about 30 traps and about 10 or 15 poles, and had just all but given up. I had one more pole to run by and got lackadaisical and ran too close to the pole, and there, sure enough, there was about a 10 or 12 pounder sitting right up under the pole, and I sprayed him with the boat, and he went down. Man, I was just like, God, if I could have just been a little more patient and got 10 or 15 feet off that pole, we'd have caught that fish, you know. So anyway, but yeah, there's a few out there. I don't think it's great. I haven't, you know, we've had such crummy wind directions, it's really not been conducive to do a lot of that running around, but again, they're showing up, and there's some out there.
Well, that's good to hear, man, and I appreciate the report, buddy.
All right, Big Al, have a good weekend.
All right, let's go to Miller's Ferry, talk to my buddy Joe Dunn. How you doing, Joe?
Doing great, Alan.
Well, let's talk some crappie fishing, first of all. How's it going? Well,
they're still doing good. It's, like I said, though, it's hot summertime. Main thing is beating the heat, but, you know, you got to watch when they're pulling water, not pulling water, and everybody wants to know what do you do in each situation. But basically, when they're not pulling water, they're going to be scattered out a little bit more around the cover. Wherever you caught them at in cover, they're still going to be close, but they may be out from it just a ways chasing shad when they're not pulling in the water early in the morning. They'll be up a little bit.
That situation right there is when the spider rigging really comes in.
That, and you, like I said, you can just target the tops. You know where some underwater structure is, and then just kind of fan cast over the top of it.
Yeah.
You can still use even like a slip court rig where you cast with your jig, let the jig kind of go on down, and then it'll hold it at a certain depth and then bounce it back, you know, as we do in the earlier part of the spring with the flying court rig. But you can do that, too, over the tops. And then when they do go to pulling water, well, then you'll get in there tighter to the tops. It's best then to use either a tight line type special with a, you know, like with bottom bounce, but you don't go quite as deep as you do in the summertime. I mean, in the winter, you'll be up a little bit higher in the water column in the summer. But that's starting to really pay off pretty good right now, too.
You know, some people use jigs for crappie. Some people use live minnows. Some people use both. What's your favorite way?
When I'm trolling, I like to tip with a minnow. When I'm doing my when I vertical jig around stumps and structure, you know, that's when I like strictly my jigs. And then casting when I'm doing the flying cork in the spring, when they're usually off, I'll do the casting with the flying cork with the jig. But it seems like earlier in the spring, you'll use smaller jigs, you know, just a regular, you know, tube type jig, and then as it progresses on through the summer, then I'll go with a bigger curly tail type grub, and then that's when sometimes I'll switch over to my, you know, my Roadrunner heads, you know, with a spinner on it too. But bigger baits later on, smaller baits earlier, and it's always worked good for me like that.
What's your thought process when it comes to picking a color?
Oh, that's all on water. You know, because everybody, I get that question every day, and that is funny because I really can't answer it, you know.
Depends on the water color.
Works. It all depends on the water color, and the water color, even if you got a bait that's working good in a water color, and then all of a sudden it gets cloudy, well, then that color's going to change. And bright sunny days and clear water, you know, my blues and your whites are your more minotype patterns do better, something that's more clear with speckles in it, that kind of thing. And then when it's muddier, you know, you're obviously going to use some of your darker colors, like your June bugs, that popsicle, which is a two-type color, June bug and the pink on it, and your chartreuse tails and stuff like that. But watercolor all depends on the light penetration and the clarity of the water, which is what you base your colors on.
Well, before we wrap it up, I want to talk about catfish for a minute. Is this a good time of year for the jug fishing, or are you going to long line jug fishing this time of year in the hot summertime?
Yes, this is when you'll move back over to stay strictly in the river with a long line, which I posted a video there on your Facebook page here just a little while ago.
I saw that.
We did some yesterday, tight lining down below the dams. And right now, so that's behind your locking dams in what we call the tail race waters. Mm-hmm. I mean, it is prime time. And I had a good friend of mine, Jabbo Wiggins, with me yesterday. And that's his main type of fishing. And he was actually showing me how to cut the shad. You know, I was throwing big hunks on there, flipping out there. I wasn't doing it, and he was just loading the boat up. Finally, show me how to cut the shad. I'm going to do a video on that next week.
Boy, that'd be great. Posted on Great Days Outdoors Coastal Sportsman. Now watch for it, guys. That's a good tip. Thanks so much, Joe.
All right, Alan.
All right, folks, let's go to Lake Martin and Smith Lake. Talk to my good buddy, Captain Michael Walker. How you doing, Michael?
Doing good. How are you?
We're doing good, man. I know you're trying to stay cool up there, but I understand that the striped bass are doing fine. They're biting. You're catching them, and also the crappie.
Yes, sir. This is really one of the times we really take advantage of the fish in their transition on Smith. They are moving to the lower level of the lake due to the warmer temperatures and lower oxygen in the northern end, and during that time, it's one of our most effective times. The fish are very aggressive. They're more opportunistic to eat a meal that's in front of their face because they're just constantly moving. They might move a little or they might move a lot in a day, but they have a certain pattern, and over the last couple of years, we've kind of figured that out and kind of follow them on down.
Do you notice any effect on the striped bass when there's a full moon like we have now?
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's going to be a little different than, like, you know, the ocean because we don't have the tidal and we don't – but, yes, definitely a difference. I mean, your bite's going to spread out throughout the day. You're going to have your fish feed throughout nighttime one time, and whenever that is, it's going to be about the same time during the next day. So on a typical away from the moon, you got a morning – a real hard morning bite. And a better afternoon, late evening bite right before sunset. Mm. On a full moon, I typically don't mind starting my trips at 8 o'clock in the morning because I feel like we're going to catch our fish a little bit better throughout the day. And it does make it tougher, though. Our fish don't pack up as hard. They stay scattered out, and they're not in bigger groups on a full moon.
Mm-hmm. So on Smith Lake, you strictly go for striped bass, but on Lake Martin, you also guide for crappie. How the crappie doing?
The crappie are good. They're pretty much in the same place as we talked last week. 20 to 30 foot range is really where you can find them. We had a couple days where the bite was tough. They had kind of let got off the cover, and they were out roaming. Mm-hmm. But the last 2 days, they've been catching them really good, right up on the cover.
That's got to be fun, catching a crappie 30 foot deep. I don't think I've ever caught one that deep.
I tell you, if you're using artificials, you have to pay attention for just the lightest tap because that deep and that light of lure, it's a real sensitive bite at times.
I imagine so. You know, when we're spider rigging down here on the Delta and on Lake, you know, Miller's Ferry, we have to watch those rod tips real close, even in the shallow water. So I can't imagine having to watch it so close in deep water like that. That's an interesting fact right there. Captain Michael, I sure appreciate you being on today. And try to stay cool up there, buddy, because it's really hot today.
Yeah, I hope everybody has a good weekend and a safe 4th, and I'll talk to you next week.
All right. Thank you, sir.
All right.